First of all, man, oh man, what an intense film. I watched Bone Cold last night, and I was sort of on the edge of my seat, and then I might have been hiding behind my seat for a while.
Well, I apologize, but also great. It's great to hear.
Yeah, it was terrific. And boy, every aspect of it, the cinematography was fantastic. The acting, the two leads were great, but the young woman who played the daughter as well was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, she's fantastic. I'll tell you, her, she's in the new Avatar movies. She's the little one in the Avatar movies. So she, when she came in, we were like, oh, yeah, this is a star right here. Like, she's fantastic.
Well, it was so well done and so intense. And I was, and I don't want to give away too much on it. No spoilers here, but I was, the premise is that these two special ops guys are sent to the Ukraine or West Parson Field. Take your pick. We'll talk more about that later, but they're in the Ukraine. They've got a mission. They get some bad intel and then things get complicated. And I was all about that. And then, man, oh man, you threw us a big curveball. And I thought, I don't know where we're going, but I'm going along for this ride. And it, boy, it was so powerful in a story about, certainly about post-traumatic stress disorder, family, friendship, and so much more.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you watching it and this interview as well, you know, shining a little light on it for a minute. And I'm so proud of the movie, and I love talking about it and talking about everybody's work on it. So it's always nice to hear.
Now, I noticed that the film was dedicated to your father. Was he someone who served in the military?
No, not at all. So my dad, he is actually in the film. He is the guy that sort of early on in the beginning, he is the first one to get taken out by the snipers. And he was there with me the whole time filming every day right by my side. And he was sort of a one-man grip team for a lot of it. And he passed away shortly after we finished filming.
Ah.
And so it was always... I knew that the release of the movie was always going to be a little bittersweet because he wasn't there to share it with us. But I was so grateful to have that time with him just before he passed and to have this sort of, you know, thing to memorialize him in a way.
Well, let's talk about where you shot the film. And I mentioned West Parson Field. I think I saw in the credits that some scenes were shot in Saco as well. Great to have people making films here in the state of Maine.
Yeah, you know, I always knew that I wanted to bring a film back here because, you know, I grew up here and it's a very big part of who I am. I didn't realize that my first feature would come back here to film, but that all started because of a conversation I had with a good friend of mine who is a producer. And, you know, I was actually talking to him about a different project, and he and I just, we kind of veered away from that project pretty quickly, and we just started talking about the business and our careers, and he asked me, he said, what do you want to do next? And I said, I want to write and direct a feature. And he said, great, so do that. That's your goal. And he said, the way to do that at this point is just think about the assets that you have available to you. Think about, you know, not just financial, but, you know, locations, props, actors, you know, crew, just anyone you could call to call in a favor, that kind of thing. And one of the big things that I knew I could get was the snowy woods of Maine. And I knew how cinematic it would be, and I knew how simple it would be to get. And sure enough, you know, I wrote this story so that we could bring a very small cast and crew out and just kind of plop ourselves in the middle of the Maine woods and have this beautiful looking movie. And that's what ended up happening.
Well, very convincing. And yes, it felt bone cold just watching it there. And man, your two leads, Jonathan and Matt, they were so strong. And it's essential for them to have a chemistry. And it was there right from the moment you meet them.
Yeah, they're a pretty fantastic team. So John is a very good friend of mine. And he's actually the first person I called when I was going to try and make the movie. I didn't even have a script yet. I had a sort of vague notion of what the story would be, but I called him and I said, John, do you want to come up to Maine and shoot this movie with me? And immediately he said, yes. And I said, okay, well, I don't have a script yet and I don't have any money yet. And he goes, yes, I'm still in. And so I kind of built out from, from John with producers and the rest of the cast. And Matt Monroe, I had never met before, but he and John had just done another movie together, maybe a few months before Bone Cold. So they already knew how to work well together and had that rapport. And, you know, in writing the script, those two characters, it's the two of them for the majority of the film. So they needed to have chemistry. They needed to be able to play and banter off of each other, but also they needed to represent two different sides of, you know, that job, the role of a sniper, or just men and women in the armed forces in general. And I think they did a pretty fantastic and nuanced job of portraying that.
And of course, when you shot the film, there was tension between the Russians and the Ukrainians, but not the full-on war that we have now. The film was prescient in many ways.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The film itself is not, there's nothing political about it. And I was sort of careful to make sure that that was the case, because it's just not what this film is about.
Right.
And so in looking at, knowing I was going to shoot in Maine, I said, well, where can I set this that's not going to be problematic and not going to be, you know, a political hotbed? Ukraine, hey, there's a civil war there earlier. We could talk about remnants of that. And so sure enough, after we filmed it, the actual war broke out there. And I said, oh no, that's exactly what I wanted to avoid. But, you know, it was a big conversation that we had with everybody, you know, in terms of how the film was showing the conflict and how it was portraying combat there. And I think because the story kind of sidestepped a lot of the bigger conflicts, we were pretty safe in our approach to it. So nobody had a problem, from distributors to our sales agent. You know, nobody's had a problem with it so far.
How much research did you do into the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder?
A lot. It was a pretty fast process, the writing process for this thing. But in that time, I just kind of immersed myself as much as I could in, you know, the reality, the grounded reality of what it's like to be in these combat situations, in these combat zones. Not just combat footage, but, you know, stuff between the combat and how soldiers are acting, like when they're in the field, when they're resting, when they're talking to each other, when they're trying to figure things out. I really wanted it to feel organic in a lot of ways. So a lot of the language that they're using, the fact that they're cracking jokes the whole time, that was something I really noticed in a lot of the footage that I watched, is they're very funny out there. And they have to be, because it's so incredibly tense all the time. So I took a lot from that. Another big inspiration for me, well, there were two sources of inspiration. There was a podcast called This Is War. And that podcast is essentially just interviewing men and women of the armed forces who have had really intense traumatic experiences, both in the field and at home. And there's no frills about it. It's just them talking. And I found that to be really fascinating and insightful. Just the way that they would talk about things, which all very grounded, no hyperbole, you know, nothing over dramatic, just, hey, this is what happened. This is what I went through. This is why. And this is, you know, how I felt. So I took a lot of that to heart. And then the other thing, there was an amazing article called Invisible Wounds that was written by a drone strike operator who was suffering from PTSD. And that was really enlightening as well, just to, you know, to show that the actions of what these people have to do day in and day out can be traumatic, even if they are in, you know, Vegas and they're operating a drone that's thousands and thousands of miles away, it still has an effect. And so that was something I took to this film as well.
We're talking with Billy Hanson here on Downtown. Well, it's such an interesting hybrid of a thriller, a suspense movie, and then the element of horror that comes into it. And because I love this kind of movie anyway, I really appreciate the fact that we're left with some ambiguity at the end. Not every question is answered.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be that way from the word go, just because the monster that we're setting up, it's not necessarily a monster that you can fight in any traditional way. It's
right.
Not that kind of creature. So you know, the actual fight and the actual struggle that the character goes through is a little bit different. And it's funny because when we were, I mentioned earlier that the writing process was really fast for this. Well, we shot all of the stuff in the woods first, which is the majority of the film. And I hadn't yet written the conclusion of the movie while we were shooting that. So I kind of knew where it was going to go. I kind of knew they were going to be facing the monster, and it was in this different scenario. But I didn't know exactly how it would play out. And so it wasn't until I had cut together a lot of the stuff in the woods that I really saw and it really came to me how it needed to end. But I thought it was really important too that the end of the film not be such clean closure, like a clean ending that would be satisfying, because ultimately that's not what these people go through. You know, there is no concrete end to it. It's more about acknowledging the problem and the situation and understanding you have to deal with it a different way. And so the movie leaves in a, you know, it's hopeful in that, you know, the worst may not have happened. But it's also left with the idea that, hey, this is not something that you're going to get rid of as easily as you might think you can.
I know there's some legislation being considered here in the state of Maine, Billy. What can be done by the state to make it more attractive for filmmakers to come here to make movies?
It really boils down to incentives, an incentives package that really makes sense for filmmakers. There is an incentives package now that is, it's okay. It's not fantastic. You have to sort of spend a lot to make a little back. But I know that there's a lot of interest in filming in Maine. I mean, for the simple reason that there are four seasons here, that there are, you know, a myriad of different locales, like, you know, woodlands, and there's coastline, and there's city in Portland, and there's a lot of different places to go, and you can get a lot of bang for your buck in Maine. But until there's an incentives package that makes it worthwhile for producers to come here, they're going to go to Massachusetts first, or they're going to go up to Canada. You know, my overall goal is to bring more films to Maine. I would love to bring more movies back here because we had such a good time filming Bone Cold, and we got so much support from people. And honestly, I just want to give back to my home state, because when these movies come through, it's a lot of money that gets dropped on local businesses for lodging, for travel, for food, all that stuff. And even littler movies that are, you know, under $1 million, under $500,000, a lot of that gets spent here. Not to mention cast and crew. If we're, you know, hiring crew members from the state of Maine or casting people from Maine, it's just a benefit to everybody. And I'll tell you, I've had a lot of people reach out to me. I would say probably around 10 to 12 people, different directors, producers, they've all reached out to me to say, how was it filming in Maine? Your film looks fantastic. We're interested in bringing a project up there. But the problem is when it comes to the money people will say, well, what are the incentives? Mm. Oh, they're not great. Then we're going to go somewhere else.
We still talk about it here at the station, and I think people who saw it count it as one of the best Stephen King adaptations. What did Survivor Type do for your career?
Oh, man, Survivor Type. So it did a lot, and it was unexpected. You know, when I made that film, you know, it was the Dollar Baby agreement, which
right.
means, you know, I could never sell it, and I could never post it publicly, so no one was really going to see it unless it was private links or festival screenings. But it was such a good calling card for me, because I think word of mouth got around, like, there's this insane 30-minute Stephen King adaptation from one of his craziest stories, and the film really goes there. So a lot of people were talking about it and reaching out to me about it. And every time I have meetings with producers, or I'm pitching myself as a writer-director, I can send that little movie to them, and they'll watch it, and it's in whichever way it goes, it's very impactful, and they remember it. So it's been a really terrific calling card, and I know that a lot of people would not have signed on to Bone Cold if they hadn't seen Survivor Type first.
Well, for anybody who would like to see Bone Cold and have a chance to talk with Billy about it, a great event coming up Wednesday night at the Gracie Theater at Husson University. Doors open at 4:30, the film at 6, a Q&A as well, and the proceeds going to a terrific cause, the Maine Veterans Project.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. You know, ever since I started sketching out the story and I kind of realized we were talking about you know, not just military, but we were talking about a very sensitive part of the military. I said, okay, this, I want to do something a little more special with this movie, and I want it to really mean something, and I want it to have an impact. So in all of the deals that I've worked out since the movie was made, I've put in our agreements, we want to do screenings for veterans, and we want to do these events like this. And to the credit of our distributor, Wellgo USA, they have been nothing but supportive. They thought it was a great idea from the beginning. And I'll tell you, a lot of distributors would not have been supportive. So I've been really excited to work with them. But it also gives us an interesting opportunity to look at the film and dissect the film in a different way that we normally wouldn't be able to. After the screening, we're doing a Q&A with myself and a man named Dr. David Prescott, who is a psychologist who works with PTSD patients quite often. And he's going to give us his impressions of the film, and we're going to talk about how it relates to the modern-day military and really shine a different light on the film that no one's really going to get to see. And I'm really excited to do that.
That's coming up Wednesday at the Gracie Theater at Husson University. Film is also streaming on several platforms. If you can't get there in person, make sure you check out Bone Cold, the latest from Billy Hanson. Billy, great to talk with you again. Thanks for making time for us, and we wish you much continued success with this film and your career.
Well, thank you so much. I hope you'll be able to hear about some new projects I've got coming up. Lots of irons in the fire right now.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Billy.
Thank you.